You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the third part of a three-part series of shows on the debate, what was the stories leading up to the debate, and that was the Friday late-breaking story of the lewd comments that Donald Trump made in a private conversation on a bus 11 years ago. And that did impact the debate because they had probably spent the first 10 minutes on that, even though Donald Trump apologized for his comments Friday and apologized again and made the point that it was words, it wasn't deeds, and that's the point that needed to be made, although it doesn't excuse his rather crude, vulgar comments. And that, unfortunately, has, let us say, damaged seriously, some would say fatally, his campaign. And what's interesting, I was coming to the show and talked to a professor here that I know in economics. My background's in economics as well. We were talking about this, and I made a point. I said, I've been studying Trump for really prior to him getting his campaign. I'm from New York, he's from New York, and we're very similar in the sense, if you get in my face, I get in your face. And that's very much what Donald Trump is about. If you punch him, he'll punch you back. And that's what we saw on display Sunday. And he came to win, and he won the debate. Even though the media today, and it's been going on now almost a week, they're rubbing their hands together. They think they have finally got Donald Trump. And it's a fait accompli. Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president. Now, if you ask me today, if the vote was held today, I would agree with you. But in politics, even though we're running out of time, have a little over 3 weeks, that is an eternity. And things can happen. Events can happen that would change this. And Donald Trump can make, for example, an announcement, a change in his position that could get a lot of attention in the last debate as well as leading up to the election day. So I'm not counting Donald Trump out at all. But I need to remind you, especially since I'm going to give you my comments on at least another 20 or 30 minutes of the debate, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not voting for either one of these candidates. I consider both political parties today to be the two-party tyranny, and what I mean by that, they're for big government, and that's what they're about. And the American people slowly but surely are learning what they're really about, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, is to staying in power. They're career politicians, primarily bought and paid for by the owners of this country, the founders of very large corporations, their chief executives, that make the big donations to both campaigns. Now, some individuals, firms, companies give to the Democratic Party, some give to the Republican Party, some give to both parties. And they want something for it. It's not a charitable contribution. It's a campaign donation, and they expect access, and they expect results. And they buy politicians. This has been going on since really the birth of politics in Greece, if you will. Most states, and I underline states like the United States is a state, an oligarchy, a group of small group of people control the state. And that's probably, at best, my estimate, several thousand people. Doesn't mean they're in government. Many are in business. The wealthiest are the owners of this country and the people that work for them. But it's a small group. Doesn't mean they know each other, and it's a competitive group. It's not, at least to now, we have not had single-party government in the United States. Now, there have been periods over American history that we've approached that. And if Hillary Clinton is elected based on some WikiLeaks, namely email, someone hacked the email account of John Podesta, who is the campaign manager for the Clinton campaign, and the press is really not covering this to the extent it should do it. But it's clear that Hillary Clinton definitely wants open borders. Now, that doesn't surprise me, shouldn't surprise anybody, but really wants to, in essence, do away with the United States, make it into a combination of Canada, the United States, and the so-called Western Hemisphere. There's only one problem with that. The American people don't want that. There's a slight problem there, and that's that the American people don't want this. And if it becomes known and Trump can take advantage of this and emphasize it in the next debate and emphasize his position on immigration, make it abundantly clear, he has to be concise, clear, and convincing that this is what Hillary Clinton wants, and I'm totally against that, he'll win. But the problem Trump has is they have people, and I'm talking the Clinton campaign, they have psychologists studying Donald Trump, and they know if you push some of his, what I call, hot buttons, he automatically goes on the attack. He defends himself, and that's only natural, but you have a limited amount of time in a debate, and the more time you spend on issues that simply the American people could care less about and not on the issues, you lose. Politics, like tennis, is a loser's game. And what I mean by that, the person that makes the most mistakes loses, and the person that makes the fewest mistakes wins. And unfortunately, Donald Trump has made mistakes. So has Hillary Clinton. Neither of them are perfect. I'm not going to vote for either one. If you force me to choose between the two, I definitely would choose Donald Trump. But I have a more basic problem. One has a D after their name, namely they're a Democrat, and the other has an R, a Republican, and both are big government parties. And when you cut through all the BS, all the rubbish, all the propaganda, all the noise, distractions, what is the number one problem today facing the United States? The federal government and its spending is simply out of control. Now, I'm not going to go over why, because I've done that on several shows, but that needs to be addressed, and that simply is not being addressed by either candidate. Hillary Clinton certainly won't go there, and unfortunately, neither will Donald Trump. It's smart politics, it's bad economics. And really, I'm not going to go over this again, but Donald Trump can still win, and I'm not counting him out. A lot of people have written him off. I'm not. Doesn't mean he's going to win. He has less than 4 weeks, about 26 days and counting, to turn this around. And you can't wait to the last minute. And you need to understand, races like this can change on a dime. And they usually get narrower and narrower. And this, the lead is somewhat gone back and forth. The advantage has always been to Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, mainly because of the electoral college vote. There's still a pathway for Trump, but it's getting rather narrower and fewer. So he has to have a Hail Mary type situation, a game changer, and it has to be sprung at the right time, and you don't have much time to do it. I would do it either right prior to the debate or during the debate. Have another press conference, not similar to what he did in the Sunday debate, but this one, about an hour before, announce a change in one of his positions. Now, I think you know where I'm going if you listen to the show. I would come out for the fair tax, some version of it. Because you need to give people a reason, a positive reason, to get off their duffs and go to the polling place and vote for you. And right now, I don't have any reason to go for either one of them. And I've already committed. My vote is cast in the sense that I'm not voting. I'm not going to change my mind either. If Donald Trump wins, one or two things are going to happen. He's either going to destroy the Republican Party or fundamentally change it and make it into a winning party. If Hillary Clinton wins, I think she'll destroy the Democratic Party. because after 4 years, the people will have more than enough of her, and they will realize they've really made a mistake. And I think that's simply a matter of time. There'll be finger pointing, but then it's up to the Republican Party to find a candidate. Now, that's going 4 years ahead. Now, we haven't finished this race yet. My time's limited, so what I'll do is start where I more or less ended it yesterday.
I'd like to know, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails? I'd like to know. Why aren't you
getting brought up the emails?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. And it hasn't been finished at all.
Ken Karpowitz has a question.
It's nice to one on three.
Thank you. Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, it is not affordable. Premiums have gone up, deductibles have gone up, copays have gone up, prescriptions have gone up, and the coverage has gone down. What will you do to bring the cost down and make coverage better?
That first one goes to Secretary Thank Clinton you. Because you started out the last one to the audience.
He wants to start, he can start. Go ahead, Hillary. No, go ahead, Donald.
No, I'm a gentleman, Hillary. Go ahead.
Secretary Clinton?
Well, I think Donald was about to say he's going to solve it by repealing it and getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. And I'm going to fix it because I agree with you. Premiums have gotten too high, copays, deductibles, prescription drug costs. And I've laid out a series of actions that we can take to try to get those costs down. But here's what I don't want people to forget when we're talking about reining in the costs, which has to be the highest priority of the next president. When the Affordable Care Act passed, it wasn't just that 20 million people got insurance who didn't have it before, but that in and of itself was a good thing. I meet these people all the time, and they tell me what a difference having that insurance meant to them and their families. But everybody else, the 170 million of us, who get health insurance through our employers, got big benefits. Number one, insurance companies can't deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition. Number two, no lifetime limits, which is a big deal if you have serious health problems. Number three, women can't be charged more than men for our health insurance, which is the way it used to be before the Affordable Care Act. Number four, if you're under 26 and your parents have a policy, you can be on that policy until the age of 26, something that didn't happen before. So I want very much to save what works and is good about the Affordable Care Act. But we've got to get costs down. We've got to provide some additional help to small businesses so that they can afford to provide health insurance. But if we repeal it, as Donald has proposed, and start over again, all of those benefits I just mentioned are lost to everybody, not just people who get their health insurance on the exchange. And then we would have to start all over again. Right now, we are at 90% health insurance coverage. That's the highest we've ever been in our country.
I have a number of comments, and this is an area that I have considerable expertise, if I do say so myself, because I used to sell both group and individual health insurance, amongst other products. You notice what she doesn't give you the entire history, and I understand this. Prior to the Affordable Care Act, if you asked people that, and most people do get their coverage through their employer, but some people have to buy individual coverage because usually they're self-employed, they're an individual. If you ask people, are you satisfied with their plan? The answer would be yes. Now, that's not 100%, but about 85% of the people out there, and the numbers fluctuated, were satisfied with their plan. There's nothing wrong with their plan. And then we had the government intervening, and she's going on and on about all the benefits we've added. Well, when you add benefits, that is not free. It costs, and that's why you have rising premiums, rising deductibles, rising out-of-pockets. You get what you pay for. Think of a car. Let's say you're on a limited budget. Are you going to get a Bentley, a Rolls-Royce, a Cadillac? No, you can't afford it. And see, what they're doing is one size fits all. And what they really want is a government-run single payer. That's what Obama has said. That's what she says. And when she was in the White House with Bill, when Clinton was president, she tried to reform health care. And I remember it distinctly. And I got out of the health insurance business primarily because of her. She wanted to mandate all this. And that's what the American people don't want. I think that's un-American, telling the American people what they have to spend their money on. It's none of her business. It's none of the government's business. And that's the first thing that's wrong with it. You don't mandate, tell people what they have to do and spend their money on. Because there's going to be a pushback. And I'll tell you the problems. It's young people that believe they're going to live forever. And they know that it's highly unlikely that they will need that medical plan. Because most of, and I've said this repeatedly, your big expenditures for healthcare are usually in the last year of your life. And actually, it's the last 6 months. So guess what? People that are older, and as people get older, they're more motivated to buy health insurance if they don't get it through their employer, and it becomes of great concern to have health insurance. Contrast that with young people that really would rather spend the money on something else. A new car, a college education, a trip, maybe to open a business. It's not that they don't realize that they might. There's a small chance that they'll need health insurance. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about care. We're talking about insurance that, if you have it, would kick in should you need care. Most young people have very few, if any, claims. I didn't say zero. And yeah, you can get in an accident. I understand that. The problem is young single people would rather spend their money on something else. And what was this plan really designed to do? It was designed to force young people to buy health insurance. That's what it's about. And this nonsense, well, you can be on your parents' coverage until age 26. Excuse me, these are adults. Until recently, most people, when they turn 18, either went to college or went to work, and they were responsible for their own health insurance. Not this non, well, you can get it through your parents. Now, what they did is mandate benefits that had to be included in the plan, and that drove up the cost. Insurance industry knew this. Many companies got out of the health insurance business, and the few that stayed around are big time regretting it. Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, is another disaster. It's another failure, and I contend it was designed to fail because what the left in this country does, the Democratic Party, including her, they want government-provided health care. That is the dirty little secret. The American people don't want that. They don't. They're happy with the prior system until they messed it up. And another reason the cost went up, oh yeah, you have now about 90% of the people are covered. But what happens? First of all, you have what's called Medicaid. If you're poor, indigent, that's always been available. And many people simply don't take advantage of it. You got to sign up for it and file claims. So literally, 10 to 20 million of the people that didn't have coverage, that's where they ended up. In Medicaid, it's an existing government program that existed prior to Obamacare. So if you have no income, no job, no income, that's what you're going to get. It was always around. Now, initially, they wanted to give coverage to illegal aliens that were here. That was not going to fly. And that's the next step. But you did have tens of millions of people, especially if you're in a recession, that needed care and didn't qualify. They were earning money, and they got subsidies, big subsidies. There's no free lunch here. If they're getting subsidies, guess who's paying for those? Yeah, the people that have to pay the full price. That's one of the reasons. There's several reasons why medical costs are going up, up, and up. And the insurance companies are, in essence, exiting. Obamacare has been a total, complete disaster, and she wants to make it better. She screwed up when she was in the White House. The first mistake is making it mandatory. She would make it mandatory. And let's deal with the people that have pre-existing conditions. And let me explain a little background here, an aside. If you go to work to an employer, let's say a fairly large, not even a large company, that has 20, 30, 40, or 500 people, they do not medically underwrite that. You got to sign up and you're going to get a card. You're part of the employer's coverage. And if you've ever dealt with employers, what happens is most people have either no claims or very small claims, like an annual physical, because they're not sick. They don't need it. Invariably what happens, and it depends on the size of the group, a few people get sick and at least one of them get really sick. And that's where most of your claims are. And that's just the reality. So you need to understand that groups, especially larger groups, it's not medically underwritten. That's not the case if you go buy individual coverage. If you buy individual coverage, guess what? They will ask you questions about your health. It is medically underwritten, and it's more expensive. And yes, you can buy it, but it's not going to be cheap. But what made all these plans more expensive? Loading it up with benefits. Now, she alluded to the fact that, well, prior to this, women had to pay more. Well, there's a reason for it, because they had more medical problems. It's called pregnancy. Young women tend to get pregnant, especially when they get married. Although today we have a lot of single mothers, so that doesn't seem to be a requirement any longer. If you're going to have more medical bills, there is a justifiable reason to charge women more. And that was the primary driver. And she's making a big deal of this. You see, the American people have had it with government interference in their lives, forcing them to buy this, and they can't afford it. You see, deductibles used to be $250, $500, $1,000 was fairly typical. We're talking $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 deductible. In other words, you have to pay that first. We're not even into co-payments. First. And you have to come up with the money. So, oh yeah, you have health insurance now. But instead of paying a $500, $1,000, or $1,500 deductible, you're paying $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. That's one of the biggest complaints. And the premiums are much higher. The deductibles are much higher. So you end up being out of pocket, and then you go into usually a sharing like 80-20. Your coverage picks up 80%, you pick up 20. A long story short, you're out $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 before the medical coverage pays 100%. So a lot of people are concluding, well, this is nice that I got a card, but now my premiums are doubled, and then when you add out of pocket and co-pays, I got to pay a lot of money before I really see the benefits of medical coverage, health insurance. They don't like the plan the way it was designed by a bunch of bureaucrats and with the help and assistance of some of your largest insurance companies that specialize in group coverage, large group coverage. They didn't know what they were doing. But see, they were good. They had good intentions. People want results. They don't want excuses. They don't want to be lied to. You can keep your plan if you have a plan. You can keep your doctor. Well, that was a lie, and they knew it was a lie, perpetuated by Barack Obama and now her. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act should be eliminated, done away with. Initially, go back to the way it used to be. You decide what type of coverage you have, and that's a function largely of your income and where you work. And let me talk about where you work for a minute. Most small businesses, and I'm talking less than 10 employees, usually are started by a husband or wife. One of the spouses starts the business. They want good health insurance. And if the other spouse is not working for a company that has it, one of the first things they will buy for their business and their employees is a small group health insurance. And again, it's not medically underwritten, but there might be a few questions. And you have the questions for the simple reason the insurance company is not a charity. It's a business. It's in it for the money. You see, a lot of people think, well, and I've seen this, not so much in health insurance. Well, I've seen it in health insurance too. Think that they can suddenly get a medical condition and now run out and buy health insurance, and then they can start submitting claims. Well, it doesn't work that way. Insurance companies have visibility into your claims, your history. And I've had people that have a serious medical condition that try to get small group health insurance. And guess what? The insurance comes back. And I've had it said, we reject them and we don't want this submitted. Don't do it again. I was blindsided, but they were lying to me and the insurance company, and they found out about it, and they will eventually. People are not honest. Private businesses should not have to pay for someone that has a serious pre-existing condition. I'm talking like cancer, history of heart attacks. How have the states handled it? They have a special pool for people that are in this situation. And the insurance is not cheap. That's how they deal with it. What you don't do is spread it over the entire base. That's why they want single payer. What's the problem with single payer? You don't have an alternative. You see, I'm for competition. Competition gives you lower prices, better quality, better service. It gives you choice, and that's what the American consumers want. They don't want this one-size-fits-all government plan at all. The government should not be in the insurance business because they screw it up. They're not accountable. Let's talk about Medicare for a minute. That's for people my age. You got to be 65 or older to qualify. And you paid into it. Medicare and Social Security are pay-as-you-go system. When you were working, you were paying into it. And when you reach age 65, you qualify for Medicare. Social Security, you reach either age 66 or 67. What's the problem with Medicare? Well, if you talk to people that are on Medicare, they have to buy what's called a Medicare supplement. It can cost anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a year per individual. Medicare doesn't pay everything. And you better have a Medicare supplement if you can afford it. And let me emphasize that. A lot of people have it, but a lot of people can't afford it. And Medicare is running huge deficits. Huge deficits. See, the cost of Medicare, the estimates, were always understated when this was passed, when Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, was president. Grossly understated. And that's one of the drivers of out-of-control government spending. One of many. In other words, the taxes that the government is receiving from workers doesn't cover the cost of what they're required to give you, and you still have to have that supplement to pay what Medicare does not. Now, Medicare is a popular program, but it needs to be reformed, and the last thing we want to do is to have single payer. And that's what Bernie Sanders and that's what Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party wants. What happens then? You have no recourse. You're trapped. You're locked in. There is no alternative. That's what they want, but the American people don't want that because they were happy with the plans they had and could afford. Employers want to have the best plan that they can afford, and I underlined afford. As the business gets more and more successful, they tend to get better plans, either lower deductibles or something that she, Mrs. Clinton, alluded to. There's no limit. I used to sell medical plans. That didn't have a limit, a lifetime limit, unlimited. That's what it said. There are other companies that would say $1 million or $3 million or $5 million. Now, the probability that you're going to have a large claim like that is very, very small, but they do occur. So, yeah, you can make the plan unlimited, and insurance companies sold that, but it is a cost of that insurance. That's why with good companies, with good plans, they're always more expensive than the mediocre plans of other companies. But if you have a limited budget, and I've had business owners tell me this, I can only afford so much per employee. That's all I can afford. Yeah, I like the plan you're showing me, but it's too expensive. And that gets back to my analogy on a car. If you're on a very limited budget, you can't afford a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. You're lucky if you could get a Corolla or something even cheaper than that. Let's get back to the debate.
I want us to get to 100%, but get costs down and keep quality up.
Mr. Trump, you have 2 minutes.
It is such a great question, and it's maybe the question I get almost more than anything else outside of defense. Obamacare is a disaster. You know it. We all know it. It's going up at numbers that nobody's ever seen worldwide. Nobody's ever seen numbers like this for health care. It's only getting worse. In 17, it implodes by itself. Their method of fixing it is to go back and ask Congress for more money, more and more money. We have right now almost $20 trillion in debt. Obamacare will never work. It's very bad health insurance, far too expensive. And not only expensive for the person that has it, unbelievably expensive for our country. It's going to be one of the biggest line items very shortly. We have to repeal it and replace it with something absolutely much less expensive and something that works, where your plan can actually be tailored. We have to get rid of the lines around the state, artificial lines, where we stop insurance companies from coming in and competing because they wanted President Obama and whoever was working on it, they want to leave those lines because that gives the insurance companies essentially monopolies. We want competition. You will have the finest health care plan there is. She wants to go to a single-payer plan, which would be a disaster, somewhat similar to Canada. And if you ever notice, the Canadians, when they need a big operation, when something happens, they come into the United States in many cases, because their system is so slow. It's catastrophic in certain ways. But she wants to go to single payer, which means the government basically rules everything. Hillary Clinton has been after this for years. Obamacare was the first step. Obamacare is a total disaster. And not only are your rates going up by numbers that nobody's ever believed, but your deductibles are going up, so that unless you get hit by a truck, you're never going to be able to use it.
Mr. Trump,
it is a disastrous plan, and it has to be repealed and replaced.
Secretary Clinton, let me follow up with you. Your husband called Obamacare, quote, the craziest thing in the world, saying that small business owners are getting killed as premiums double, coverage is cut in half. Was he mistaken, or was his mistake simply telling the truth?
No, I mean, he clarified what he meant, and it's very clear. Look, we are in a situation in our country where if we were to start all over again, we might come up with a different system.
What's wrong with starting over again? That's what they did with Obamacare. They threw out a perfectly acceptable system, and they ruined it. And people are mad about it, angry about it. Because let me tell you something, as people get older, especially when they get married and start to have kids, that's when they focus in on health insurance. I think everyone should have it. And you need catastrophic coverage. That's the key thing, where you have a condition, a disease or whatever, an accident, where you have huge medical bills. They're rare. Most people, I'll knock on wood, I've had coverage, and there have been periods where I've had excellent coverage. There have been periods when I've had no coverage, and there are periods now when I have government coverage. But I've spent most of my medical bills are for things like glasses, contact lenses, annual physicals. I have not added it up, but I'm talking over decades. It's been maybe $1,000 a year, and that's probably high. And I said, knock on wood. But that's the typical situation. The big bills are your last year. When you have your heart attack, you have the diseases of old age, you have a stroke, you have a heart attack, you have cancer. Why? As you get older, disease will eventually kill you. And most people in the United States today, and I include myself, are overweight or obese. And now that's the same thing as happening with children. And that is one of the leading things that you can do to minimize your health. If you lose that weight, the odds are of you getting that heart attack or stroke are significantly reduced. The same thing getting high blood pressure. You see, the individual has responsibility here. And if he's really concerned about having a large medical bill, well, the first thing you need to do is examine your diet. Are you overweight or not? And if you are, you got to lose it. Are you exercising? You're eating the right foods? Are you getting enough sleep? It's common sense, but most people ignore it. If you're truly concerned about reducing your out-of-pockets, that's what you need to do. And if you do it, it's no guarantee here, you're a lot less likely to need medical services. And the ones you need, the bills will be a lot smaller. Now, Donald Trump made a very important point. Insurance today, including health insurance, is regulated by the state. And to do business, for example, in the state of Texas, you have to go to the Department of Insurance and get approval to first sell your products, and they have to examine your products. As a result, you have limited competition. I'm all for doing away with those boundaries. In other words, you can buy an insurance policy from an insurance company doing business in another part of the country that does not do business in Texas. Now, if you think about it, that's the case with almost all goods and services. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about state intervention into the marketplace. Now, you can make strong arguments that you need that. What we really need is competition and not having one plan fit everybody, because everybody's situation is different in terms of their health, in terms of their income, their situation. Do they have conditions or not? Instead of one single plan designed by bureaucrats in Washington saying, well, this is what you must have. And it does have many benefits that some of the best plans have, but The cheaper plans didn't. Weren't they nice? And then you saw what the price tag was. I'm not surprised. When they were going through this, I said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The premiums are going to be significantly higher than anyone even thinks. And that's happened. The deductibles will, many times, the deductibles are like 300 to 500% more. In other words, they're no longer 500, 1,000. They're 3,000, 4,000. And then you have the out of pocket, and you have a limited number of physicians that you can go to and a limited number of hospitals. And that's exactly what happened. And people are not happy because they've had usually their doctor for years. They go to certain hospitals. They're used to paying a certain premium, and now that is many times more expensive, and they can't afford it, and they're mad. Democrats and Republicans. And what was the driver? Well, we're going to have 100% covered. My answer is this. If you really are concerned about this, I think you should get a job and pay money for it. Make it a priority in your budget. If it's not a priority and you have other things you want to spend your money on, fine, but should you get really sick, it's going to be your problem. We need personal responsibility here, and we need the freedom to choose what we want to spend our money at. See, that's not even brought up. The Affordable Care Act was jammed down the throats of the American people, and now they're spitting it out. And I think it was designed to do this because they didn't have the votes for single payer, and they're not going to get the votes for single payer. That's a dream. That's a nightmare, quite frankly. That's not going to happen. So Donald Trump is on the right side of the issues here, as is the Republican Party. The coverage should not be mandated. It shouldn't be designed in Washington, D.C. by a bunch of bureaucrats. You need to remove the barriers to entry so insurance companies that are marketing health insurance can sell throughout the United States. And I'll be the first to say, buyer beware. And you get what you pay for. And you got to decide what you can pay and what you want. Just like if you buy a car. If people are perfectly capable of buying cars and houses, they're perfectly capable of buying their own insurance. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, didn't you say that the government schools, not public schools, government schools are failing? Yeah, they're failing. And many of those people are not capable of doing that decision. You see, the problem we have here, we have two parties, big government parties, that want to intervene in your lives. They can't mind their own business. The American people are saying, leave us alone. We're perfectly capable of taking care of ourselves. Our biggest problem is the United States government and its regulations and its taxes, its mandates. They're driving the American people nuts, and the American people are pushing back, and they're angry and they're mad. And the Democrats did this to the American people, and the American people are pushing back. Now, who's not pushing back? The people that get it for free. And who's paying for that? The people that are working. There's no free coverage. Who pays for it? The U.S. taxpayer. It's not government provide. It is government program, Medicaid. But it's a combination of the federal government and the states. And one of the biggest budgetary items in the states is what? Healthcare for Medicaid. And Medicaid needs to be reformed. There are problems there, too. But the answer is not one plan for everybody and single-payer or government-run health care. Donald Trump is right. You see, in Canada, if you talk to the Canadians, oh, they like their plan for the small stuff. When they need an important operation to save their life, let's say heart surgery, just for an example, there are waiting lines, and people die in the waiting lines. Problem solved. See, when you're young, most young people don't encounter this. It's only when you're older that you have serious medical conditions that you find out the real problems with the Canadian system and the system in the United Kingdom. Their answer to solve the problem is, there are a number of ways. One is you're on a line and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And as you're waiting, the condition can get worse. And if you're really unfortunate, you can die. That's why Canadians come to the United States, because they can get treatment. If they have the money, they can get treatment here, and that's what they do. And the same thing in the United Kingdom, Great Britain. People that can afford it have private insurance, and they don't use the government system. I don't want that. You, the consumer, should decide, given your circumstances, both income, your asset or wealth situation, your medical condition, how you want to spend your money, and go in the market and get the insurance plan that you want. Whether it's an inexpensive plan, a catastrophic plan, or a so-called Cadillac plan. That's the way it should be done. It should not be a government-run healthcare system, and they've screwed it up. And for all those that are on Medicare, let me warn you. The deficits are getting bigger and bigger as more and more baby boomers retire. Those are people born between 1946 and 1964. And if you were born then, people 70 years old and younger. Many of those people, virtually all of those people, will qualify for Medicare when they're 65. You do the math. So by 2030, all of them will be qualified for Medicare. And that's when it's going to get worse, worse, and worse. Let's continue.
But we have an employer-based system. That's where the vast majority of people get their health care.
Let me interrupt quickly. Why do we have an employee-based system? This is a little bit of history, but it's important. During World War II, we had wage and price controls. In other words, government intervened in the economy. So employers, to attract employees, defense plants, for example, would provide health insurance. Keep that in mind. And that's how they got good employees. And it continued, and group coverage has a tax advantage. It's deductible. Now, the problem with that, and there is a problem, why most employees like their plan, what they truly would like is to select a plan that fits their circumstances. You see, I don't think health insurance should be employer-based. We should give the same tax break, if you will, to the individual. So he can either accept the employer's plan or buy his own, and it should be deductible. And for whatever the employer is paying for the group on an individual basis or family basis, the employee should get that money if he wants and buy his own. We should really transition to an individual-based system. Is that going to happen? Probably not. Because people are just used to it. Roughly, last time I looked, about 140 to 150 million Americans are covered where? By their group coverage that the employer provides. And some are very happy, and obviously some that have poor plans aren't. That's why I definitely favor moving towards or giving the same tax advantages to individuals to buy their own. Does your employer provide you a car? Now, I know some executives get a car. No. Does he provide you with food? No. Does he provide you with clothing? No. Does he provide you with a house? No. But he does provide you with health insurance. Doesn't that strike you a little bit odd? I prefer you give me the money and I spend the money on what I want. That is what should be the situation. The reason we have this is because of government intervention. During World War II, first, in wages and prices, they were controlled, and that led to group health insurance. Let's continue.
And the Affordable Care Act was meant to try to fill the gap between people who were too poor and couldn't put together any resources to afford health care, namely people on Medicaid. Obviously, Medicare, which is a single-payer system, which takes care of our elderly and does a great job doing it, by the way. And then all the people who were employed, but people who were working but didn't have the money to afford insurance and didn't have anybody, an employer or anybody else to help them. That was the slot that the Obamacare approach was to take. And like I say, 20 million people now have health insurance. So if we just...
Yeah, they have health insurance, but they don't have medical care because they can't afford the deductible of the out-of-pocket. That's the game. I hope you're happy with your little card, whether it's a Medicaid card or a subsidized insurance card. Now go to your doctor. The doctor goes, well, okay, pay me the deductible. They don't work for free. You have to pay that deductible in the out-of-pocket, and most people can't pay it. They don't have the money. They're strapped paying the premiums. So I hope you're happy with your card. And that's the mistake I think a lot of people make. Having a health insurance card or insurance is nice, but if you can't pay the deductibles and the co-pays, what good is it?
Just rip it up and throw it away. What Donald's not telling you is we just turn it back to the insurance companies the way it used to be.
What's wrong with that, ma'am? It was working until you screwed it up.
And that means the insurance companies get to do pretty much whatever they want, including saying, look, I'm sorry, you've got diabetes, you had cancer, your child has asthma.
Your time is up.
You may not be able to have insurance because you can't.
Most states, not all, but most states have special funds, risk funds, to deal with people that have pre-existing conditions. You can't get something for nothing. If you add 20 million, 30 million, 40 million that don't have coverage, the You have to pay for it, and the taxpayers have to pay for it. And you're spreading the risk to those that have the medical insurance, and what's the problem there? That increases their premium. There's no free lunch here. See, the idea was we're going to have a lot of young people pay for the people that have this condition. It doesn't work out, because who's the first one in the line? Who is the very first one in the line? The people that have this condition, they're the one. It's called adverse risk. They know they have a medical condition. They know they're going to have large bills, so they get the insurance. Talk to any insurance executives. That's what they'll tell you. You need a large risk pool to spread that cost. And the problem is your young people and a lot of other people say, I can't afford it. I'm not going to buy it. I'll pay the penalty or let the IRS catch up with me.
Can't afford it. So let's fix what's broken about it, but let's not throw it away.
What's broken about it, it's a government-run plan. You broke it. You and the Democratic Party and Barack Obama broke it. It's another failure of government. It's a government failure. She's trying to blame the insurance company. It's not the insurance company's problem. It's a failure of leadership, a failure of vision, and frankly, they didn't know what they were doing.
And give it all back to the insurance companies.
Let me follow up with you, Mr.
That's not going to work.
Mr. Trump, let me follow up.
She says it's not going to work. How do you know? It was working fine, lady. This lady is incompetent. Not only is she a compulsive liar, she's incompetent.
On this.
I just want to just one thing. First of all, Hillary, everything's broken about it. Everything. Number two, Bernie Sanders said that Hillary Clinton has very bad judgment. This is a perfect example of it. Well, I'll tell you what it means. You're going to have plans that are so good because we're going to have so much competition in the insurance industry once we break out the lines and allow the competition to come.
Are you going to have a mandate that Americans have to have health insurance?
President Obama, by keeping those lines, the boundary lines around each state, and it was almost gone until just very toward the end of the passage of Obamacare, which, by the way, was a fraud. You know that, because Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, said it was a great lie. It was a big lie. President Obama said, you keep your doctor, you keep your plan. The whole thing was a fraud, and it doesn't work. But when we get rid of those lines, you have competition, and we will be able to keep pre-existing. We'll also be able to help people that don't have money, because we are going to have people protected. And Republicans feel this way, believe it or not, and strongly this way. We're going to block grant into the states. We're going to block grant into Medicaid into
the
states.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
I have to leave it there. I think he's alluding to the fact that the states have a problem. They can't afford to pay the Medicaid bills right now, and they are going to need block grants. So, yeah, you can increase 20, 30 million have insurance that don't have any money, but nothing is for free, and that money has to come somewhere, and it comes from you and me. They like to say the government will block grant. No, your tax dollars are going to go to pay for someone else's medical bills. Now I have to wrap it up. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.